Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Looking for a fun night out? K1 Speed puts you behind the wheel for an adrenaline-filled time you and your friends will never forget. Off the track, the fun keeps rolling with arcade games, great food, and drinks. They even have private party rooms for your birthday parties and corporate outings. Race hard, laugh harder, and claim your spot on the podium. K1 Speed. More than racing, it's an experience.
The Survivor Specialist, Phil and Blake, are back. And today we're going to be digging deeper into episode 5 of Survivor 47. Although, let's be real, we're pretty much going to be digging deeper into the entire pre-merge of Survivor 47. We're moving on. We're moving away from the early portion of the game. And my God, what an improvement from 46 to 47. 46 is post-merge is absolutely incredible, but the pre-merge was a little bit of a snooze. And now we have this just absolutely electric pre-merge to Survivor 47. So I'm excited to talk about this, talk about what we saw, the new twists, Annika's epic exit, whether or not it was the right move by Sierra and Sam. I'll throw out there right now, people sending Sierra death threats. You have mental issues. Like, I don't understand what's wrong with you. Why are you doing that?
Why are we sending death threats?
Because she hates women. Because she voted out Annika and sided with Sam. You know, like, that's like, it's crazy. She put out a tweet about it. So I'm assuming that she's gotten a whole bunch about it. But it's just crazy how people are nuts. People are absolutely nuts. And it's like, watch the damn show. Watch what happens on screen. This has been an exciting first 5 episodes of Survivor. And like, why can't we just love that? Why can't we just love things, Blake?
I mean, am I going to get death threats but if I say how I truly feel about this episode? Because
Andy,
it's just so funny to see Andy go from on his back being like, thanks for removing me from the game, Jeff. I don't know what I got myself into. And Jeff goes, you're still in. Mm-hmm. He's like, Jeff, thank you so much. Like, I truly will value this the rest of my... You're still in. And then he goes, I would have voted out John tonight. And it's like, you're still in, Andy. And then tonight or last night or 2 nights ago, we have Andy say the most philosophical thing. And he's like ready to go and seems like this legitimate... Maybe he did practice screwing over people on day 1 in his backyard, because it looks like it's been part of his plan the whole time to get people to underestimate him. I think we have an all-timer cocky woman pre-merge boot of like, Annika had no iota in her mind that she was leaving. Mm-hmm. Which is crazy, because it's like, you didn't have a vote, you didn't play in that challenge. And I know she just wrote on Twitter yesterday, like, trust me, I was trying to get in that challenge tooth and nail, but they didn't want. And it's like, if you try to get in the challenge tooth and nail and they didn't want you to play, like that's even another layer of like, how are you confident that like they're taking you to the next step with them? Mm. And like, obviously we miss out on 1 second of, because Andy does the thing wrong or Annika is back in to the merge, but like it's just something where you're like, Annika, why did you not think you could lose?
What'd you think of that gif that you just tried to mimic right there of Andy hump cutting, whatever the hell we're gonna call this?
What's crazy is like I just don't know if any of the lower body motion is helping your upper body strength cut the rope.
Dude, I don't made a hell of a gif though.
Yeah.
That's all I know. I have no
idea. If I send this gif to you, it means I have no idea what I'm doing, but
yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I'm down for anything.
No, it's a good point you bring up with Annika, and I think what it really comes down to is she didn't realize how close Sam and Sierra were. She felt like the breadwinners were a real thing. The breadwinners were going to run this game. That was going to be the alliance. And if that's the case, she should be shocked she's going home here. Because what she is thinking is that Sam is four. It's we have Annika, we have Rachel, we have Sierra. Sam is our fourth that will allow us to get rid of Andy because I don't have a vote. She, in no way did she ever think that Sierra and Sam were that tight. And Sierra is probably playing a very good social game behind the scenes where she's saying to everybody, I can't believe everybody thinks me and Sam are dating. I barely even know him. Like, I don't even like him that much. Like, I don't even talk to him, blah, blah, blah. Like, I could see that being the situation as she's talking to them. I think Sierra is a great game here. Like, she's playing a strong, strong social game. Now her cards are on the table. They have to be. But at this point, too, what options does Rachel really have? She did get to go to the twist. She did get to go to the social hour. She did get to talk to Teeny. She did get to talk to Caroline. She did get to talk to some other people. But is that actually going to be what Rachel decides, oh, I'm just going to go with them now? Or does she try to still go with Sierra, Sam, and Andy? And especially, Will and I were talking about it, a lot of times what happens is, in the new era, the tribe with the most people or the tribe tied for the most people has the person go home at the mergatory episode. So that means blue should have somebody going home this week, not yellow. So Sierra had to reveal her cards, but I still think she's going to be okay. But I think that Annika being as blinded and blindsided by this as she was is just because Sierra is playing that good of a game. So while people are out here like saying their nonsense, spewing their nonsense, you're hating on a woman for voting out a woman, but you're hating on a woman who just made a great move and is playing a great game of Survivor. What's wrong with everybody? Blake, I know. Please cross yourself. Help me.
I think what's interesting is like we're still down three men before we're making this thing. Like it is kind of, oh, you expected Andy to go, but like I don't want to lose to Annika later down. Like Annika is somebody that can win the show. So I should eliminate people that can win the show over me until I'm left with people that can't win the show over me. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't think at this time Andy could win the show. So I'm going to take Andy with me to this next layer. And like, I think there's also the idea of you have to think the merge is coming up soon. And like, I think if we're focused on Sierra and all this talks, like, I guess she's making this decision, but it's still a 2-2. Like, Andy, or like the idol could have been played for Andy. All of this is coming into like 2-2 tie. Annika goes home in a rock draw, or like, what are we doing, or whatever. Excuse me. It's just something where it's like, why is this all coming down on Sierra? And like, she, like, why can somebody not vote out somebody for their any kind of thing that comes into play? Like, I'm sure the fact that, like, I kind of hate that still 47 seasons in, the first thing we kind of do is like, now that we have all the girls here, or all the guys are over doing this. And it's like, that is literally, I guess, the first thing you could see, but like that's something that's not disappearing, but like whenever we have non-binary people play the game, like at this point, we should be so far past that. That does feel like a 2002 thing.
Yeah,
that we're going to base our alliances on are we all men? Let's do this. Or are we, what's the best women's alliance? When it's like, what's the best alliance of people that are all going to agree with everything I say that won't beat me in the end? And Sierra has that currently. So it's like,
my question is, what if Sierra goes to the end with Andy and Sam and wins the game? Which doesn't seem that unreasonable.
Right.
She could beat Andy for sure, and I think she could beat Sam. So it's like, let's just let the game play. And I don't know. I think it's so childish the way people jump to those conclusions, where it's like, we've lost the plot with so much of this, where like so much of the community, it's gotten to the point of, we're going to take the most simplistic approach and just destroy people for it. And there's no reason for it. The same thing last year, right? Maria was a woman hater. Then Maria turns around and votes for Kenzie to win. And she's a scumbag for that because she didn't vote for Charlie. It's like, make up your mind. Like, you all season, you've been saying she's a woman hater who hates playing with women and doesn't want women to succeed. And then she votes for a woman to win. And now she's like Judas over here because she backstabbed her closest ally.
And I think one thing that's always happening in every online discourse is like, those are different people probably that are all doing that. I think
that is what's most insane, right? Like, you actually do have... You have the people who hate Maria for one and people who hate Maria for the other.
Yeah.
And now they're just converging so that no matter, Maria breathes and they're like, well, we hate you. Somebody has
quit taking my air, Maria. My other thing that I think Sierra has set herself up, which I think you should do as a new era player of, yes, it's final 13, but at final 10, we're going to split into two groups of five, or at final 12, we're going to break up into two groups of six. And it's going to be our fake tribe swap. And I want to have as many options as possible then. Mm-hmm. And I have my boys that I just voted with. But I also have like, hey, Rachel, I didn't want to do that to Annika. You trust me more than the two boys. If anybody gets cannibalized from yellow, it won't be me. Like, she has put herself of, I'm going to be making it to final nine. Don't worry about me.
The easiest argument for her is Sam refused to vote for Andy. Best we could do was a 2-2 tie. I'm not going to rocks for Annika. Sorry, Rachel. And I had to leave you out. I'm not going to rocks for Annika. Okay. That, I would buy that.
I'm going to buy that. Okay. So first five episodes of the merge.
Oh, hang on. Let's go through some of these comments here first. I think this will be
fun. Oh, okay. I didn't even see there's comments.
Chris Mack talks, Annika's exit was so epic that it might have helped her in appearing in future returnee seasons. You don't think so?
I just don't want people to, like, as they're getting voted out, being like, I should take 16 seconds to get to my torch because it'll be more epic than Annika's from last season. This, like, I don't want to reward the
theatrics. But Annika's was authentic. You got to be kidding. This was authentic.
Which is crazy. Like,
yeah.
Is she going to be better on the show the next time around when she's delusional or like, what story?
Mikhail was pretty damn good her second time, and it was a very similar circumstance to Annika.
All right, bring Annika back for 50. No, I don't want to bring Annika back for 50, but maybe 57 she can come back.
I mean, people are going to remember Annika because of this. And look, it really did get Mikhail back on the show. Mikhaela wasn't that massive of a personality on Millennials vs. Gen X. Right. She really wasn't. But that exit was so iconic. And it leaves the question of what could have been. Exploder, I wonder if Sierra would have done more damage control than Sam if she went on the social hour instead of him. What do you think about? So it was Rachel and Sam who went on the social hour. And it was Andy, Annika, and Sierra who went back to camp.
Would Sierra do more? I think Sierra, it comes down to, who do you think is a better social player, Sam or Sierra? And I think Sierra could be like, what? No, because it's easier to do that as a female presence of like, I have a man back home. Like Sam is 24. He's a little boy. Like, but Sam trying to do the, no, she's not beautiful and gorgeous and on my tribe. And like, we hang out a lot. No, of course I don't have a crush on her. I do have a, because he has a girl at home. I think that energy is more acceptable from a female presence or woman presence. I don't know what word we're allowed to say on the podcast or whatever, but like a feminine voice saying that is way more like, yes, girl, of course. Yeah. Like, how does that keep happening to you? But whenever Sam goes, no, I'm not in love with her, people are like, yeah, right. Like, how could you not be? And you're like, God damn it. Like, like he's screwed if he does, screwed if he doesn't. And I think that's so weird to me of like, those people are both playing amazing games, but because of how humans work, we're like, y'all be having sex on the side? And it's like, no, like what? Like, how is that literally a storyline that's being edited together, story produced, asked by other contestants, re-edited, story produced a third time, and well, we're talking about it in a third episode.
And like, especially when Sam and Sierra are so blatantly saying, no, this isn't a thing. But I do think the reason why this is making it into the edit is because Sierra and Sam are going to go very far on this season.
Right.
And I think that they're going to go very far on this season. And isn't it crazy that a guy and a girl can have a platonic relationship and go deep in a game?
That literally happens 100% of the season. So no, that's not.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why it's so ridiculous. But it's almost like because it's no, like they're not actually together.
Three and Aris never kiss. Like, what are you talking about?
I know. But it's so funny because it's like it's almost like they're all saying to themselves, okay, they're not in like a dating type couple. So we're just gonna let it go. Like, nothing to be concerned about here now. Their votes aren't nearly as tight. Right. I mean, I don't know. I just think that they're going to go pretty far. And I think that's why we're hearing about this and seeing this. And
cause like, I don't even want to joke because these people have lives at home. It doesn't even make sense. Like to speculate, like maybe they kiss 8 episodes from now. They they're not going to stop.
Yeah.
Like, but like as a 23-year-old, I probably would have been like, maybe they kiss. And like,
as Casey Affleck says in Manchester by the Sea, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. Is it good to bring up Manchester by the Sea during?
Yeah, that's actually more people were wanting that, I think. They want a sequel that's a musical to that one.
I know, that's what we need. Anybody who has seen that movie, you're welcome for putting that scene
down by the sea. down by the sea.
Let's get this question in here from Kevin O'Donnell, and then let's jump over into doing a pre-merge recap here. But will Rachel be a free agent that gets picked up or an easy person to vote out? Seems like she's in a similar position to Mariah in 46. I don't know about that.
Who's Rachel? Just kidding.
I feel like Mariah was so nowhere on her tribe. Siga wasn't losing. Jem was the only one we saw her interacting with. Like, we really didn't see anything from Mariah. And I do feel like Rachel, like, just them showing that thing at the social hour, Rachel has gotten to interact with more people that I think she could pick up and go in with somebody. I don't think Rachel's in danger of going home. I will say, I don't think any of the people who were left out of the last vote on their tribe are in danger of going home. Meaning, I think Teeny is fine this week. I think Kyle is fine this week. And I think that Rachel is fine this week. I don't think any of them are in danger because I think that the players are going to start to see a little desperation from some of these players. And that's going to be good. And I also don't think that these people were left out as purposefully as it looks. People don't dislike Teeny. People don't dislike Rachel, and people don't dislike Kyle.
Kyle has to be like the nicest dude those people have ever met. Yeah,
sometimes the numbers just work out that way. So, you know.
I think what we will see, though, is like people using the I'm going to pull a Gabler strategy. And it's like, who's going to be able to nail that first of like, is Gabe literally Gabe? Gabe could do Gabler. It's just like 3 letters more, but like, he could be like, Tiana was talking shit about me at that thing. Let's get her gone. Once she's gone, not only will the numbers be more whatever, I think the game will be more fluid. And then everyone will be like, thank you, Gabe, for making that decision for us. Then they break up into 2 things of 6, and it's like a whole nother game at 10 anyway. And like, pick the pieces up at 10.
And here you go, Kevin Hernandez. Tiana's giving mergatory boots slightly on memorable player who doesn't really know they're on the outs of their tribe.
I remember her.
I mean, I remember her for sure. I'm just saying.
Yeah, Tiana, I think what's funny about reality TV is I think this is a fun thing to think about as we're going through all the old seasons. Like, that was like 2 weeks that you were in Guatemala and people ask you about it for the rest of your life. And like, when you're on the island and it's episode 6, but day whatever in your mind, you're like, this is the day where if I push the boulder a little harder than this next person, I don't have to talk about being the merge boot for the rest of my life. Like, I will be like, oh, jury, and I can enjoy this whole experience. And like, is it worth, like, these are the next 3 days I have to play extremely well, wake up early, don't worry, everyone. I made the fire. I got water. The crabs are over there. Don't worry. Here's the Snickers bar I've been hiding for 2 weeks. Let's go. And like, I wonder if there's any, like, everybody could see that desperation. You're a shitty, I keep cussing, sorry. You're a bad survivor player, Blake. Like, or if that would be like, wow, Blake's turned into a whole new person because he got all the crabs and water ready. Like, I think that's what goes through my head in the new era of like, just play extremely well for the next 3 days. And like, it will pay dividends and you'll get like sixth place instead of a 13th.
Well, and especially I feel like back in the day, when you got to the merge, you never wanted to be 10th place because that meant you missed the jury. And it would suck to make the merge and miss the jury.
Right.
But at least like, we've seen a lot of 10th place finishers come back. Just in the first 4 seasons, half of them came back and played again. With Varner.
Not and Brandon, Rick. Though.
Brandon didn't get 10th place. What are you talking about?
The farmer from Guatemala?
Well, yeah, but that was, I said the first 4 seasons. Brandon Quinton is the first 4 seasons, Brandon. Get out of here. But in the first five seasons, 3 of them come back because Shean comes back. The thing is, in this new era, if you look at who that person who's just missing the merge is, like just missing the official merge, just missing the jury.
I don't think I could tell you 3 of the 6.
But this is what's crazy. And this is where I think, like, you know, you really don't want to be this person. Mo?
Right.
Well, actually, technically it was Tim, because Tim didn't make the merge last year.
Right.
So Tim made the merge, but Tim didn't make the jury. So, okay. So it's Mo.
The Gabler target. What is her name?
Season 45 was Jay Maya.
Okay.
Season 44 was Josh. Season 43 was Ellie. Okay, Ellie could play Survivor again. I wouldn't be surprised. Season 42 was Lydia. And season 41 was Sydney. With the exception of Ellie, those are all insanely under-edited, forgotten people who pretty much have no chance of playing.
I remember Sydney being crazy. I need to look up Lydia because my specialist reader is off. Lydia, wow. Survivor 42. You're going to
reveal that you didn't actually watch season 42?
Oh, Lydia Chlamydia. Yeah, Lydia, she's not
Chlamydia, yes. Jesus. She calls herself.
Yeah, that's literally her Instagram thing. Okay, interesting. Like, that's a lot of... Wait, is that mostly women?
Well, yes.
So it's mostly women that made it through because their teams were good, but they weren't strategically sound.
And then if you go,
so even who fits that bill right now? I'm guessing we're all saying Tiana on that as well.
Yeah. But then even if you go a step further and you say, who's the person who just missed making the jury? Because the first 2 seasons are the same people, but then from 43, Dwight, who we really didn't hear much from on that season.
He's a great tweeter though.
He's a great tweeter. I mean, we had him on the podcast. Great. Sifu.
Great tweeter.
Yep. And Tim. So it's like they really don't edit these mergatory posts. Like, you really do. You want to be like, okay, I got to get to 11th place. I got to make 11. And I wonder if people think about that. We have Ice X here. It says players are obviously adding to their TV resumes. If you're coming out to play New Era Survivor, think about your TV resume of, I got to make it to at least 11.
What's crazy to me, if put yourself on the island, I'm already hungry and whatever. Do I have the extra energy to go, oh, Jeff, why? Like, I get there is some like real of this, but like the Annika time of like, there's some decorum of you shake hands after you lose the hockey, the playoff hockey series. Mm-hmm. And if you punch somebody, not good decorum. If you take too long, you're being disrespectful. Same thing in baseball. The decorum of tribal council. You stand up, you have 5 seconds to go get your torch. You can say about 5 words, and then it's a positive thing on the way out. Thanks, Jeff, for everything, maybe. Some people hug Jeff. That was crazy. But, like, she went so outside the, like, she's, like, swinging on an 0-3 pitch. Mm-hmm. And, like, yes, you're allowed to do this.
Yeah, go
ahead. 3-0 pitch, sorry. She's swinging on a 3-0 pitch where you're allowed to try and hit a homer here, but you're supposed to take a pitch so the pitcher can, like, get out of this and not be absolutely embarrassed. Mm-hmm. And, like, I guess this analogy doesn't quite work because she's the one who's getting embarrassed here, but I think she's making it more embarrassing for her, but also more memorable. But, like, everybody else in the last couple years have been, like, good game. I know we were joking. Some people joke online of, like, season 44 would be like, thanks for voting me out. That was such a good play. But, like, this layer of this is, like, get up, go grab your torch, and let's go. And she took 30 seconds on one half of it and then another 30 afterwards. And somebody, like, they try to break the tension of, like, and she's like, no. And it's like, how are you trying to get the last word when you didn't worry about the first word? You didn't worry about the 30th word. And now you're trying to get, like I let you guys vote me out. You guys didn't have a thing. Like, it's just weird to be like, where was this fire before this? Was it taken away from you because you lost your vote? Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. And the one thing I will say is, like, I just don't think that the fire was really there because she didn't see it coming. I think this was authentic, but Kevin O'Donnell says it here. TV resume is especially important with 50 coming up. I do think that if you're watching this about to go on 49, you probably saw that and you're like, ooh, I got to one up that. I do think that's going to be a problem. I think 49.
I'm going to freaking break my leg at try.
I think 49 is going to be playing for 50 a lot more, and that's going to be annoying. But all right, let's do a little pre-merge recap here. It doesn't have to be super long, but just. Yeah, team. Okay. Just jumping in and talking about how we feel overall. We had some new twists. We had advantages. We had, you know, a couple journeys. We had some stuff that was the same. We had a pretty even pre-merge in terms of tribes going to tribal. We lost 2 from red, 2 from yellow, 1 from blue. So couldn't really
it's
be.
It's literally as close as it could
be. As good as it could be. What did you think about this pre-merge overall? And, you know, positives, negatives, all that fun stuff as we get ready for the second half of the game.
I think episode 4 is, like, one of the, we did say, like, is this one of the best pre-merge episodes? It's maybe not one of the best of all time, but it is one of the best of the last 10 seasons. So that's phenomenal. I was kind of like, as I was watching episode 5, I was like, what's going to be the follow-up? It felt like a very strong follow-up of not like, oh, that's clearly the best episode. And then, like, Genevieve goes next and it's like there's no point. Like, it does feel like there's going to be, I'll just focus on 5 right now and then we'll go backwards, but like this felt like, oh, a brand new twist. No, it's not. You just had a tribe swap, but instead of anybody getting swap screwed, you're basically setting one half of the crew doesn't swap, but one crew does but unswaps. And like, is that fun or interesting? We will see later down the line. But like, seems like Sue is set up as somebody who's going to be a front runner. Sierra, Sam, and Sue, I think, are the 3 that I'm like, okay, what's going to happen with them? Pre-merge, other than that, like, Rome is an all-time character of how is Rome still in the game? Andy had an all-time meltdown. I think it's sad to lose John Lovett that early because maybe it would have been cool to have him do analogies for one more episode. 2 more episodes. Asia going is kind of like, whoa, like that's not what we all thought. So I think that her going that early is kind of like, damn. Mm-hmm. TK, like, I think this is actually what I do want to say is of those 5 people that are gone, none of them were like quitters or like clearly they're going home.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a new direction with casting or if that's a new direction with how we're editing the show, but it did not feel like, of course they went home. They are awful. I know I probably said, of course John Lovett's going home, because he did say he was weak. He said he's a blah, blah, blah. Like, why did I even come out here? Like, there was that kind of layer of it. But it was interesting to see that there wasn't somebody that's like, you know what, this was a dumb idea. Like, how stupid of me. And like, because I feel like there has been at least a couple people like that on.
Yeah, I think last season we had Jess.
Right.
Who I think the game was too much for her. And I've said that before. And like, I think that pissed her off. I think she listened at one point. But like, I'm being honest here. Like, I think it was too much. 45, I mean, you had two quitters. You had Brandon, who really struggled after his first challenge. I do think Andy shows the potential of Brandon. I think that this is why somebody like Brandon got cast on Survivor, because right. Mike struggled day one. But I think Andy has shown, if Brandon had a little bit more time, if he wasn't on a disaster tribe, Brandon very well could have ended up having Andy type upside. And he's a lot funnier.
We're watching Guatemala. Start watching old seasons, guys. It's all there for you. Rafe was trying to get up a ladder and couldn't get up a ladder, and he lost it for his tribe. It's the same thing of like, Brandon couldn't get up a ladder, lost it for everyone. He's a loser, but Rafe did it and gets third place later.
Yeah.
Spoilers, gotcha. It's just a thing where like, oh, Andy is probably the person, and he goes home first. I say, oh, same old, same old. They can't cast people there, whatever. But like, it is interesting that he's going to get the second chance to flourish. And like, there's no way Andy's going home at 13, 12, or 11. Like, get ready for that. And I know there's a really funny tweet where it was like, it was a picture of Rome and a picture of Andy, and it was like, get these people off my TV screen, I swear to God. And you're just like, I love that we have people to root against, we have people to root for. It feels like there's 2.5 people that maybe are under edited right now, but like, maybe they're just barely. Not coming on.
The least amount of confessionals on the season.
Do you have the numbers? And I'm going to be wrong.
I want to see who you think it is.
Because I remember looking at this and being like, Sierra has...
staring at this nonstop. Are you kidding?
I mean, you love this stuff. I would say somebody from Blue, Caroline.
Caroline and Kyle are tied for the least with 9.
Look at me freaking go. I'm a specialist.
They both have 9. Saul, Genevieve, and Tiana have 13. Sierra and Rachel have 14. Sue has 20. And then Teeny and Andy both have 25. Gabe has 27. Rome has 31. And Sam has 35.
Okay. Here's what I actually am interested in the most moving forward. What, how, where does Gabe place? I think he's the most interesting story.
I could see Gabe going home this week.
And like, I would be... I don't want to say devastated, but I would be like, damn.
Yeah.
Like, I hope, I think he's the person I'm thinking of when it's like, go find that merge idol or push your basket a little faster than everybody else's in this individual immunity that's going to happen or something. Or like, I guess it's earn the merge, or are we doing that all over again? Is there anything like that?
So we don't really know. I'm assuming yes. But it seems like there's a change with this. Let me see if I can pull it up. Episode 6. So,
because let's 2 seconds.
The description from CBS.
Did you like Social Hour, by the way? I never asked you.
I did. I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it was phenomenal. I actually, I will say that I believe that the twists they implemented this season were great. I think Social Hour was great. I think that the new idol stuff, even though it's boxes within boxes, I thought that was good. I really did. I think that that is a better idea, and it makes the players think about it. And it led to good drama. People knew Gabe was looking like crazy. They all knew Rome had it. And then we get the drama of Keyshawn and Teeny with Rome. So like, no, I think that these twists worked. I still think it's stupid to pull in and you're forcing people to lose their vote, but I think for the most part, these advantages
were ambulance.
The amulet. I think they improved upon the amulet. I think the amulet is a better thing right now where each of you has to come together and it is an idol rather than, oh, it's a lose a vote or a steal a vote or whatever, because you guys are still in the game, like whatever it was going to be. I think that it's working. Like, I think that the twist, I think that they're thinking about it in the right way finally. And I feel like season 45 and 46, Survivor was starting to become what it wanted to become again. And now it's finding its groove. And I think the best way to compare this would be post Heroes Villains, 21 to 24 were atrocious. And then 25 and 26, it was like, okay, like there's really good, there's really bad. Like fans versus favorites doesn't really work. So maybe that's not the best example, but you get what I'm saying. And then you get to 27 and 28. And the show starts, that's when you get Blood versus Water and Kageyan. And the show is taking chances, but the chances are paying off because they started to realize what audiences wanted. And I feel like they've kind of figured it out again. I feel like it took them a little bit. Now, I still love 43. I think 46 is great second half. And I think 45 is a solid season throughout. But I think 47 could take the cake from all of them because what they're putting in front of me is working week after week. So I don't remember how exactly I got to that point, but yeah, I think that the twists on this season are working. And I'm seeing if I can find, somebody had posted it on social media. And I'm trying to see if I can find the description for the upcoming episode.
I think the other thing that literally paid off too is you don't really like Rome right now, most of y'all. But like Rome crying because he does get his alliance, or like, I just want to play this game with an alliance. I want to have a crew going into a merge with a plan. And you're like, I don't know how much I believe that. And he's like breaking down because finally we figured out one of these stupid puzzles. We won by 0.7 seconds. Saul goes down. We're going to lose. No, get up, get up. And then touch the mat. They win. And like, all that emotion is like, I don't care how you feel about Rome. Like, that's probably the best emotion we've had in 5 episodes of like, we did it. And like, you watched it for the human spirit. You watched to crush the human spirit. Like Annika, 30 minutes later, it's like everything that you would want in an episode. Like, I know there's like, it's not a joke, but it's like, I want gasps, I want laughs, I want to cry, I want to, like, all of that happened in, like, most of these episodes.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's super entertaining from start to finish. It is entertaining whether you're loving Rome or hating Rome, whether you're loving, you know, Genevieve or not. Like, whoever you like, you're entertained. And if you're heartbroken Annika went home, if you're heartbroken Keyshawn went home, you still feel something coming out of these episodes. And that's good. You can't say that for every pre-merge season. Brandon, it was just frustration. The Banu thing back-to-back episodes was annoying. I didn't feel anything when Jess went home. Like, Jolinski going home was funny, you know, and Jolinski will admit it was funny. Like, what do you want? I just think, yeah, I agree with you. And like, I'm surprised they didn't air that scene of Rome really crying. And I'm still trying to find this other thing. I saw it as a tweet. What is going on? But yeah, I'm surprised they didn't show that. Anyway, overall, I think what's even better about this pre-merge right now is that this pre-merge makes it feel like the post-merge has hope. This feels like a post-merge we haven't seen before. Because it's not just, oh, we're the side on the low end of the numbers, so we're going to go further through the game. You know, there's going to be a lot that's going to happen. And even if it starts to feel predictable as it goes on, I feel like there's enough people who feel on the outs of certain things that, you know, I think that we're going to get an exciting finish. And a lot of times if you get a really exciting pre-merge, sometimes it feels like, okay, well now at the expense of what? Ghost Island had a really good pre-merge and then the post-merge stunk because everything had already happened in the pre-merge. I don't feel like that's the case here. And I'm going to find this link. Go ahead. You go.
I will talk again. So yeah, pre-merge, to overall say what I am liking about this season is 90 minutes, 90 minutes. Like that's not new anymore, but it does feel like I know about Rachel. Cool. I know about Annika. cool. I know about Sam. I know, like it is boom, 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 boom. I can say all this stuff. Boom, 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 boom. I do think the people that we mentioned, Caroline and Kyle, are the least like, okay, whenever they start the next episode and go like, I'm nervous about this because we have the most people, I'll go, okay, I really like how the story is being layered, because of course we haven't talked to them because their story started at episode 6 because they became pivotal here. And I do like that layer of storytelling to do something different of like, I would almost love it if somebody who won the game is in the bottom 5 confessionals right now, because we're trying something new as a production thing of like, let's tell the story of it wasn't as important because they were on the wrong side of a vote earlier. And now here's how they rise through. Like, if Teenie, I think is the like middle part of this, of we know a lot about her, but what's going to happen? And like, if Teenie just takes over, Teenie takeover time.
Teenie takeover time. Wow.
I'm down, and it'll be like sick. I'm just explaining what I could be excited for instead of saying anything academic. We like to be academic here.
You
but like
academic.
I think what I'm trying to say is I don't want to watch the same season 47 times. And it does feel like this is the most unique season since like 40. Because 40 had a whole bunch of winners.
And what they're doing, the editors are doing a good job of the storytelling. I know you mentioned story earlier, and I do think the storytelling on this season has been great. I think that they're doing a very good job of building it up and letting it happen and letting things develop naturally. Genevieve doesn't need to be a big part of the first 3 episodes because whatever. But then when she needs to be a big part of the
episode. She doesn't absolutely murder one of her tribe mates until 4. Like,
exactly. And like, once that happens, great. Like, then we get a lot of her. And now we get to understand what's going on that tribe. And so like, I'm totally fine with that stuff happening and telling the story the way you would tell the story in a movie or a TV show.
Yeah, because what is it? I don't have a knife near me, but like her murdering Keyshawn like that is the most you'll ever get close to like the opening scene of Scream.
Yeah.
And like, because it's Halloween. And like, that's the most I can think of. Like, they could never do that. They could never show a tribal first, like in the first 5 minutes of like that would be the craziest storytelling of Keyshawn goes home at the end of this episode. Watch how quickly it happens at the end would be an insane, like whatever, but we're so used to how the storytelling is doing. Like, that's their version that they can do the Drew Barrymore kill of like spoilers for a 30-year-old movie. Like, that's how they make that make sense.
You absolute Neanderthal, you know,
I'm gonna just start spoiling things that are old. So the good, the bad, the ugly, they are
new too, right? Who do you think's gonna win this season? You probably already know.
Oh my God. Brandon from Guatemala gets tagged in instead of Kyle.
I wish.
Kyle's on a legendary run.
But I do want to ask you this. Let's do a quick, I think this is a fun exercise as we hit the final 13 here. And we know that even if it's not going to be a full merge, we're going to get some sort of merge. And I know we had to go recap House of Villains right after this. So, you know, I want to give us some time, but let's make this the final point here. Look at the cast. Who's left? Who do you think has the best chance of winning? Who do you think has the worst chance of winning?
I think the best chance, I don't see why we would focus on the relationship between Sierra and Sam if it wasn't the most important thing. So one of those people gets to the end, and that's who I would be. My secret pick of who I would love to see win, because I think it would be an insane story, is Saul. Kevin got me a little quicker. Saul. Yeah. If I could pick somebody to like, does Saul win? That would be insane. Of, I'm literally going home unless I work with somebody who like threatened me 5 seconds ago to like now everybody. And like, I'm on the Saul train. I hope he doesn't like go home at 7th because they're like, he literally beasted 3 challenges in a row. There's no shot. And it's like, there's one where you have to hang off a pole. And it's like, I can't do this because I weigh 300 pounds of solid muscle. The worst chance of winning, to somebody who's not going to win at all.
That's what the worst chance means.
True. I think it's Rome.
Do you really think so?
I think Rome is not going to win. He's not going to get 13th, but he's going to be, if he's in the final tribal, like he's getting zero votes or something.
Yeah,
like,
I don't necessarily like, agree with that.
You think Rome's got it?
No, I just think that Rome has a chance. If I said worst chance of winning right now,
like I would Caroline say, or something.
No, Tiana has the word. I actually think Caroline could win. Caroline's getting the sneaky, sneaky Michelle.
I just hate that this happened to Tiana. I thought she was going to be good.
Right here, right? You got to put the finger here because she's getting the sneaky win. She's going to win this season. Caroline, looking at it from an edit perspective, which you know I love to do.
Let's just have 10 people win this season.
Caroline, one confessional episode one, three in episode two, one in episode three, two in episode four, two in episode five. So in the episode where her tribe goes to tribal council, she gets the most confessional she's had this season. But Caroline, who isn't the most explosive personality by any means, probably the fourth most exciting person on her tribe remaining, is still getting confessionals when there's no reason to give them to her. And what's she doing in this last episode? I feel really good about where I am right now. I could work with these people to do. I think Caroline is a dark horse to win this game. But if I had to put my money on it right now of who I actually think is going to win, I'm gonna actually go with Teenie. I think that Teenie has navigated the chaos of the pre-merge, has a lot of options available moving forward, and will win out in the battle of Rome versus Teenie. If that becomes a battle, because again, that might just be an alliance that wants to go to the final four. But I think Rome versus Teenie, I think Teenie has the advantage. So I'd say Teenie has a good chance.
I think there's so many people where I'm like, I'd be happy if they won. Like, what good storytelling? There's only like three people I'd be like, ugh.
I don't even feel like there's anybody where I'd be like, ugh, because I feel like they're doing a better job.
Even then, it'd be like, oh, okay. Well, they probably have a cool thing happening over the next five weeks.
Something's going to develop, right? I mean, exactly. Here's what's crazy, though, Blake. For as shocking as the season has been, and so we've had five people go home. I had John Lovett at 18 in the boot order video that you edited, we put out. I had John Lovett 18. I had Annika 17. I had Keyshawn 16. And then I had TK at 13. And then I had Asia at 5. So I was obviously very wrong about Asia. The other two people that I had pre-merge, air quotes, 15th and 14th, were Genevieve and Gabe. And then I had Saul at 12. I don't feel like this season is playing out all that different from what my boot order prediction was based on
who's your winner pick again?
Well, I had Tiana, but,
but she could go on an immunity run for 15 in a row
in the final three with Tiana.
I think what's cool is everyone has been, here's a breadcrumb by the editors of Tiana's playing the worst because she went after Gabe. All Tiana needs to do is go, I'm not joking. Gabe is the worst. Let's get him out. And somebody goes, fine by me. And then she's whatever. And like, if she gets idled, it'll be like, that was going to be great gameplay until, or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Like Tiana currently hasn't played wrong. She's just said something out loud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Tiana's winning.
Jay Byrne Aquatic, moves don't matter. Edit and story do. That's how I feel when I'm trying to pick who's going to win. I agree.
We should edit this podcast.
Nope. All right, that's all we got. If you all want more coverage, patreon.com/thespecialist. Make sure you like this video, subscribe to the channel. Blake and I will be back in about 10 minutes. We're going to be doing a House of Villains recap.
Oh, that's live?
Great. Damn. That is live, dude. Can't wait. Hope you're all enjoying this, though. Thank you so much. And I'll be back on Sunday. If you're only here for Survivor coverage, I'll be back on Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern with Sabaya. Sabaya coming through in the clutch was supposed to be next week's guest. And then was like, I can move up a week. So we got Sabaya this week, Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern time. Excited for that one. And excited to see what's going to happen at this next episode. So thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Next time you see me, I'll be 35 too. Sheesh.
Really? When's your birthday?
Tomorrow.
"Oh, well, I'm literally going to see you in 9 minutes to do House of Villains." So that's a lie. You just lie to everybody.
For Survivor coverage. These people that don't
Don't hide your lies. All right. Bye, everybody.